I want to speak this evening on objections to Christ's resurrection. And let me begin by saying over the centuries, skeptics have sought to debunk the story of Jesus, which of course includes his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. Tonight I want us to look at some of their theories and objections. We're going to look at seven with the hope as we see what the skeptics, the Christ deniers say, that with the answers that we have for them, we can aid you in being ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that lies within you. And so I want us to pray, and then we'll look at seven theories, objections that the skeptics have regarding Christ and his resurrection. Father, thank you that you are risen. Thank you that you are risen indeed. And might we understand the significance of that. Lord, I pray that we'll have hearts that lay hold of this reality. Lord, keep us from just looking at this story of Jesus and his love, his conquest of death, as something common, as something we have heard so many times before. Lord, I pray that we will see the significance of Jesus' conquest of death for us. And Lord, I pray that it will move us to have no other gods before us. Lord, I'm afraid even in our own hearts how often we worship at the throne of other gods. And Lord, I pray that we'll truly be worshipers of the one true and living God. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. There are those, number one, who say that Jesus did not really die on the cross. Rather, he just passed out, was removed from the cross, was placed in the tomb, and then later after Jesus kind of woke up, after he was revived, he left the tomb in a weakened condition. Now, for all this to be true, the following would have had to take place. Jesus would have had to survive a massive blood loss and torture and a spear wound to his side, which produced, as you know, a mixture of blood and water. The Roman soldiers would have had to fail in their determination that Jesus was dead because they did not break his legs. Remember, they broke the legs of the other two hanging with Christ, but they did not break his legs. Why? Because they perceived, or they said, he had what? Already died. Those preparing Christ's body for burial would have had to deal with someone who was still alive. And to escape the tomb, Jesus would have had to roll a 2,000-pound stone away, which normally required several men to move. And then to sneak past Roman soldiers and walk several miles onto the city of Emmaus. Dr. Alexander Metherell, a medical doctor and research scientist, has commented on this theory by saying, and I quote, "After suffering that horrible abuse with all the catastrophic blood loss and trauma, he would have had to look so pitiful that the disciples would never have hailed him as a victorious conqueror of death. They would have felt sorry for him and tried to nurse him back to health." Now, did that happen? Not at all. Jesus actually died. And Jesus actually conquered death. Secondly, there are those who say that Jesus did not rise from the tomb, but rather his disciples came by night and stole the body away. And now this is not true, because if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 28, it says that this cover-up was a blatant lie. Notice beginning with verse 12 of Matthew 28, "And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." Why would they have to secure these soldiers? Because if someone stole a body, I mean, if someone got past these soldiers, what would that mean for the soldiers. Death. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Now this is not, of course, the disciples did not come by night to steal the body away because the tomb was sealed. Soldiers were stationed to guard it. And these soldiers would not have dared to go asleep for fear of death. And the disciples would not have stolen Christ's body because they were cowards. During the crucifixion, if you recall, they were the ones who abandoned Christ. They were the ones who fled the cross. Only the apostle John remained. And so the disciples did not steal the body of Jesus. Third, there are those who say that everyone went to the wrong tomb. Now, obviously, this is not true because the women, the Bible says, observed where Christ's body was laid. Luke 24:35 states, "And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid." Following the resurrection, the disciples, Peter and John, knew what tomb to run to. If Jesus' body was in another tomb, the Jewish authorities would certainly have declared this fact. And obviously, Joseph of Arimathea, the owner of the tomb, knew where Christ was laid. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' tomb was well known. People knew where he was buried. Number four, there are those who state that Jesus' followers made up the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, this is not true, for people will not knowingly die for a lie. Lee Strobel writes, "People will die for their religious beliefs if they sincerely believe they're true. But people won't die for their religious beliefs if they know their beliefs are false." Close quotes. But Jesus' disciples did believe that he rose from the dead. Can I stop here and say, when that truth truly impacts your life, and I'm not trying to question your Christianity, but let me say again, when that truth truly impacts your life, and you see in your own heart, you understand in your own heart that Jesus arose from the dead and the significance that makes for you, what that brings to pass for your life, it will be transforming. You cannot believe in a living Savior knowing that that Savior died for you, rose again for you, has given you eternal life. You cannot believe in that without it moving and motivating you to serve Him. And so these disciples did believe that Jesus rose from the dead. For once they saw, once they touched, once they spoke with the risen Christ, their lives were truly transformed. And that's what will happen to us. I really believe too often it's just a story. Ladies and gentlemen, it's more than a story. It's our life. Because Jesus died and rose again, we live. And that has to grip our hearts. If we believe that, it will move us to live for Him. And so when these disciples saw and touched and spoke with the risen Christ, their lives were transformed. Filled with the Spirit, the disciples left their former life and entered into the ministry of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. I think we say to ourselves, well, how could these disciples be so committed to Christ? They believed in what Jesus did for them. They really believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of their faithfulness to this great commission, they willingly endured hunger and persecution and abandonment and imprisonment and suffering and torture and even death. Sometimes I wonder how much I would be willing to endure suffering-wise for the cause of Christ. Christ, remember, prophesied how Peter would die, and we read that in John chapter 22. James, the half-brother of Jesus, who became the leader of the Jerusalem church, according to Josephus, was stoned to death. Why? Because of his faith in the living Christ. And Saul, who strongly opposed Christianity, in fact, it was his life's mission to stamp out the church of Jesus Christ, the people of the way. His words in Acts 22:4, "And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women," became Paul, the greatest evangelist who ever lived, once he met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. I ask you, as I ask myself, have we truly met the risen Christ? And how he was continuously persecuted and imprisoned and finally was beheaded for the cause of the good news of Jesus Christ. And his legacy, the word, he wrote up to 13 books of the New Testament. Which again tells us people don't live this way for a lie. People don't die for a lie. They truly believe Jesus lives. Number 5, there are those who say the witnesses were not reliable. But to the contrary, the resurrection is supported by many reliable, true witnesses. Some of those valid witnesses were women. Now understand, during the first century in Judea, a woman's testimony was considered worthless. In fact, a woman was not even allowed to serve as a witness in a courtroom. Which leads me to say, if the early believers had wanted to fabricate the resurrection, they certainly would not have used women as witnesses. Does that make sense? They would have found men who had strong political, religious influence in the community, and they would have used them to get out their story. And speaking further of reliable witnesses, 1 Corinthians 15:6 tells us that over 500 people at one time saw the risen Jesus. And at the time Paul penned this fact, again, 1 Corinthians 15, most of these witnesses were still alive. Now, to prove that all these witnesses were unreliable, all the doubters had to do was produce the body of Jesus. But this greatest of weapons was never used because his body could not be found in a grave. The silence of those who did oppose Christianity while Jesus' followers preached an empty tomb further confirmed that Christ truly had risen from the dead. The witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, ladies and gentlemen, were credible. Can I say this? If you will be a witness for Jesus Christ, your witness will be credible too. You know the reason? Because you're witnessing the truth that the tomb is empty. Ladies and gentlemen, I've seen the tomb. It's empty. Number 6, there are those who say that the New Testament is not reliable, that the Bible has been translated so many times to be trustworthy, to be authentic. Well, let me say, the Bible we have today is remarkably true to the original writings. Of the thousands of copies made by hand before AD 1500, more than 5,300 Greek manuscripts from the New Testament alone still exist today. Historians tell us that the Bible is better preserved than the writings of Plato and Aristotle. And further, the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls confirm the reliability of the Old Testament. Now let me address in particular the writings of Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of what? Acts. Norman L. Geisler has examined Luke's reference to 32 countries, 54 cities, 9 islands, and found not one mistake. Sir William Ramsay, a renowned archaeologist and historian, writes, "Luke's historical accuracy suggests by archaeological evidence provides credibility to his depiction of Jesus Christ and the accuracy of his writings. He continues, Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, this author should be placed along with the very greatest historians. The book of Luke is unsurpassed in respect to its trustworthiness. Close quotes. Ladies and gentlemen, we hold a truly reliable Bible in our hands. God has faithfully and accurately preserved his word. And the last time I checked, my Bible said Jesus conquered death. Amen. He did. And then one more, and we might get out early tonight. Who knows? There are those who say that the resurrection of Christ is not important. Now let me say, if that is true, there are eternal consequences. And let me explain, if Jesus did not rise from the grave, then the unbeliever is no worse or better off than before. But if Jesus did conquer death, then it is reasonable to believe that everything he claimed is true. Let me say that again. It is reasonable to believe that if Jesus did conquer death, everything he claimed is true. You know, if you can tell someone you've conquered death, it doesn't get much better than that. Amen? I mean, how can you top that one? Well, I gave the blind sight. I turned water into wine. I mean, those are great things. I fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And, you know, by the way, there were 12 baskets left over. I mean, that's good stuff. But when you can say, I conquered death, I arose from the dead, you can't beat that one. That's the topper of all toppers. And here Jesus conquered death. Our Savior conquered death. The one who washed our sins away in his precious blood conquered death, which means only faith in him brings to pass salvation. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's begin with verse 12. Let me read about 13 verses, and we'll wrap this up. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them which slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in, let's say it together, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ shall all be made alive. You and I will live forever because Christ conquered death. That should move your heart. Don't look at that as something common. There is no other story in history that can top the conquest of death by Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, Peter made the following statements, and you can find these in Acts chapter 2. Number one, that Jesus of Nazareth was accredited by God by miracles, wonders, and signs. Credited by God. Number two, that Jesus was crucified and that his death was God's set purpose and foreknowledge. was by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. Number three, that David himself spoke of the resurrection of Jesus in the Psalms nearly 1,000 years earlier. And number four, that everyone that saw Christ became a witness to the fact that Jesus was raised to life, which overwhelmingly declared that Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Men can object all they want. They can be as skeptical as they want. They can offer all the false theories they want. But the truth is, now is Christ risen from the dead. And because he lives, you live and I live also. Let me challenge you to be a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ.